Good morning. Our reading this morning comes from Philippians chapter 2. Imitating Christ's humility. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Our lovely Saviour, Jesus, the one who is the eternal Son of God, worthy of all praise and glory, and yet he was willing to leave the glory of heaven to become one of us, that we might know him. We have sung so many carols, and perhaps we know them so well that they have sometimes gone over our heads. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. We sing, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Jesus was so humble that he was willing to leave the glory of heaven and enter the womb of a virgin as an embryo. Think about that for a couple of minutes. Really? That God himself, eternal God, who fills the heavens, who all angels and all people praise, said to his heavenly Father, I will go and become an embryo and grow inside a virgin's womb, and then I would be born like all other children. I will grow up as a young child. I will become a man who will suffer and die because he loves you. And he loves me. The old hymn says, it is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. That is the message of Christmas. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners such as you and me. Let me read again from Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Slightly different this time. If the fact that you are in Christ has any power to influence you, if love has any persuasive power to move you, if you really are sharing in the Holy Spirit, if you can feel compassion and pity, complete my joy. For my desire is that you should be in full agreement, loving the same things, joined together in soul, your mind set on the one thing. Do nothing in the spirit of selfish ambition and in the search for empty glory, but in humility let each other consider the other better than himself. Do not always be concentrating on your own interests, but be equally concerned for the interests of others. Have within yourself the same disposition of mind that was in Christ Jesus. For he was by nature in the very form of God, yet he did not regard existence in equality with God as something to be snatched at. But he emptied himself and took the very form of a slave and became like men. And when he came in appearance as a man for all to recognize, he became obedient, even to the extent of accepting death, even the death of the cross. And for that reason, God exalted him and granted to him the name which is above every name, in order that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Things in heaven and things on earth and things below the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Have we believed the truth about Christmas? It's my prayer that each one of us here this morning knows Jesus as Saviour and friend and Lord. That you have believed that he came into this world for you. That he came into this world and died and took your sin. That he rose again. So that if and when you believe in him, you will belong to him now and forever. And Paul says in his letter to the Philippians here, he says, if you believe this, if you have put your trust in Christ, then you should have encouragement from being united with him. You should have comfort and strength because you know his love. You should have fellowship with the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit with each other. You should have tender and compassionate hearts. And so therefore, he says, make my joy complete, not by only trusting in Christ, but by living out your trust in the way that you live and the way that you deal with each other. So therefore, we should be like-minded, loving, and working together with one mind and one purpose. Paul's desire is that his readers, which now include us, will always make sure that loving and serving Christ together is our greatest priority. But what can get in the way of this? Selfishness, conceit, and pride. Both James and Peter tell us that God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud. He hates pride. 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us that love is not proud, but is selfless. And pride leads to a lack of relationship with God. In order to have a relationship with God, we have to be humble. We have to admit that we're wrong. We have to admit that we can't make it on our own. We have to admit that we need him. Some people are too proud to do that. I can get through life on my own. I'll be okay. But pride cuts us off from God. And pride cuts us off from each other. If you think you're better than someone else, you're not going to get on, are you? You remember the story in the New Testament where the Pharisee, who was so proud of himself and his life, had no relationship with God and no relationship with other people either, because he thought he was better than they were. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, Paul tells us that we should live in harmony, that we shouldn't be proud and don't think that you know it all. No matter how long we have been Christians, no matter how long we have known the Lord, we should never think that we know it all. There is always something to learn. In James chapter 3, we read that selfish ambition is unspiritual. It's not God's way. Do you always want your way? As the Queen in Alice in Wonderland said, here, all ways are my way. Or is all your ways God's ways? Paul in Galatians tells us that selfish ambition is part of our old life and should be replaced by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience, forgiveness, goodness. The way of Christ is not selfish ambition nor vain conceit. Instead, we should be humble, not looking only to our own interests, but especially to the interests of others. And Paul says here that our attitude, our mindset should be the same as Jesus, the one who laid aside his majesty, gave up everything for you and me, suffered at the hands of those who he had created and those who should be worshipping him. He was the one who had the right to insist on worship. The one who had right to insist on honour. The one who has the right to insist on obedience. The one who has the right to insist on getting all the glory. But he waived his rights to assert them. Let's read verses 6 to 8 again. Again in a different version. I think these are some of the most amazing and beautiful words that we can read about our Saviour. And they should move us in gratitude, move us into humility, move us into wanting to be obedient and like him. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position as a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Jesus, although he is continually divine, didn't cling to the glory that was his. He laid his glory aside. He came down to earth from heaven. He came to earth like us, as a baby, as a child, as a man. He became a slave. He became a servant. He became nothing in the eyes of the world. Can you imagine that? The great Son of God is a nothing. A despised Nazarene. His parentage is at least dodgy. And he might even be mad. Aren't he talking like that about the Son of God? And yet he was willing to come, knowing that that is what was going to happen. He became poor. He set aside his riches. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says, the one who was rich beyond all splendor for our sakes became poor. He never had a home. He never seemed to have any money. He became poor. The one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The one who created the world and the universe. The one who owns everything had nothing. He was obedient to his Father's will, whatever the cost. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays, not my will, but your will be done. And then he did something that he should never have done. Remember, this is immortal, eternal God. Sinless, righteous, immortal God. What did he do that he should never have done? But he had to become a man in order to do. He died. He died for you, and he died for me. And not only did he died on the cursed cross. Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. people would have looked at him and knew that he was in utter disgrace. What an attitude of humble, obedient, loving service. Are you moved? Are you moved? As a result, God has highly exalted him, and one day every tongue will give him the glory and every knee will bow. But does my attitude, as I go into a new year, reflect his? What is your attitude as you go into this new year? Am I going to be proud? Am I going to be conceited and think rather highly of myself? Am I going to be selfish, wanting my own way, wherever I am? Am I going to be humble, willing to do whatever God asks me to do, willing to go wherever God asks me to go, willing to give up whatever God asks me to give up? That's a hard one, isn't it? Am I going to be selfless? It doesn't mean I never think of myself and you never think of yourself. It's important to think of ourselves sometimes. Jesus thought of himself when he went to be quiet, spend time with his Father, spend time resting. But am I always going to think of myself first? Or will I put others first? Like my Saviour. Am I going to be obedient? Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. His commandments are not burdensome, but they can be hard. To love one another. To love him. To do whatever he says, no matter what the cost. To be prepared to do his will, not mine. To be prepared to do his will, not yours. To be prepared to do his will, not this church's. Am I going to be working together with one mind, with one accord, one purpose, working for God's kingdom to come, working for peace, working for love, working for people to come to know him who is life eternal, working together for the glory of God and the good of others? Another Christmas has come and gone. Don't know what yours was like. For some, it was hard. For some, perhaps it just seemed very ordinary. Perhaps for some, it was wonderful. But did we get the point? Amid everything else that was going on, were we reminded once again and touched by the fact that this Christmas is about Jesus, the Son of God, so loving, so humble, that he came into this world for you and me? It was lovely seeing family. It was lovely opening presents. It was lovely eating the food. But did we get the point? And Paul says, if you have trusted in Christ, if you have this encouragement because you belong to him, if you know his love, if you know his fellowship, then your heart should be tender, your heart should be compassionate, then you should agree and get on and work together and love each other and love God. Don't be selfish. Don't try and impress others. But be humble, like our Saviour. It won't be easy. It wasn't easy for him. But for the joy that was set before him, he did it all. And what was the joy that was set before him? The joy that he pleased his Father. But the joy that one day he would welcome us too into his heavenly home. As we go into this new year, let us ponder on the real meaning of Christmas and follow in our Saviour's footsteps. This is an old hymn. It's based on 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's a bit makest and camest, but we'll all understand it. This is the God who we worship. Thou who was rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake becamest poor. Thrones for a manger did surrender, sapphire paved courts for stable floor. Thou who was rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake becamest poor. Thou who art God beyond all praising, all for love's sake becamest man. Stooping so low, but sinners raising heavenwards by thine eternal plan. Thou who art God beyond all praising, all for love's sake becamest man. And this is our prayer. Thou who art love beyond all telling, Saviour and King, we worship thee. Do we? Emmanuel, within us dwelling, make us what you would have us be. More like Jesus in his humble, obedient service. Thou who art love beyond all telling, Saviour and King, we worship thee. And so we sing, we're going to sing in a minute. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. Let's follow in our Saviour's footsteps, having his mindset, his attitude, his loving, serving obedience to our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to the end of this year and go into the new, we will remember the true message of Christmas that we have just celebrated. That Jesus Christ loved us so much that he gave up everything that we might know you now and forever. Father, it's my prayer that each one of us here knows what it is to have believed that Christmas message, to have believed that Easter message, and put their trust in you to find hope, eternal life, peace and joy. And we pray for each one of us who know you, that we might go into this new year ready to be humble, selfless, obedient servants, following in the footsteps of our lovely Saviour Jesus, who did so much for us. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do, whatever you say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. Shall we greet each other with the words of the grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.